Hey, thanks so much for joining me. I'm really excited today to introduce you to someone who has been a super special person in my life. Not only because she was an amazing salon manager for me when I had my salon, but she also became a close friend over the years that we worked together and beyond. Amy is a manager of a salon in London called Rush. It's one of 90 salons in the group around the UK. Amy has transformed the Baker Street Salon after setting a high goal of winning Salon of the Year. A huge achievement, and I'm absolutely not surprised that she's taken the title, which is one of the reasons I wanted you to hear from her yourself today. Her superstar strength is really leading a team through effective and focused communication. I can't wait for you to hear her story and her tips and be inspired to be the best team leader in your own business.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Hey, Amy, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm super pleased to have you on the podcast because you've been an amazing, smart and proactive, positive person in my life. So I'm really stoked that we get to share your knowledge with us. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So why don't we start with tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do and your journey that's taking you up to today.
Yes, absolutely. So I started my hairdressing apprenticeship just before my 20th birthday, and then I moved from my lovely little suburban salon into the Big Smoke, where I worked in an amazing little salon in Wellington City. And I was actually there for about 6 years in total.
Really?
And I know. I moved my way through the different styling levels there, but I've sort of developed an interest in leadership and salon management quite early on. And there was an opportunity to become a floor manager there. So which was awesome, and I sort of managed to hone my skills over the 6 years that I was there. I learned so much, and certainly came a long way over that time. So about coming up to 4 years ago now, I actually moved to the UK, so the bigger smoke, and I embarked on a slightly different path career-wise, where I started working for a really large hairdressing group who are very fast growing and fast moving. It was a huge adjustment for me, huge change as well from what I was used to. So I'm a salon manager now of one of their salons in central London. And now I actually don't do clients. I don't do any hair. I'm managing the salon from the desk essentially. And it's an amazing salon. It's busy, it's beautiful, it's in a beautiful part of London as well, and I'm managing a team of about 16 staff in total. So I've been there coming up to about 3.5 years with the salon now, and I've now finally managed to find a balance with my leadership style. I've developed a much stronger sales and sort of business acumen, but I've still maintained quite an honest and open approach, or I like to feel like I have anyway.
So yeah. I want to just reflect actually, because you mentioned when you applied for the role as floor manager.
Yes,
yeah. I remember that day so clearly.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You had to do a little presentation about what you were going to do for the salon if you became a floor manager. Do you remember it?
I do. I remember it so clearly. And I've never felt so like I really wanted something. I knew that was my calling. I mean, I loved hairdressing and I loved doing hair, but actually it was the possibility of a leadership role and managing a team that really lit that fire in my belly. So that opportunity was certainly the making of me, absolutely.
I just remember it so clearly because it was the moment for me that I just knew that you were going to have a significant role in the business. And the bit that I remember, which is funny, I have to say, you know, one of the things you had to talk about was, you know, the different things you were going to put into place. And I was so passionate about changing the music.
Music, yes. I knew you were going to say that.
You were going to do a new playlist. And we did change the music. You really changed it. You got us off CDs and onto an iPod and that's never right. looked back, bless.
Yes.
Your defining moment. So look, recently you won a Salon of the Year for your salon group. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, amazing.
What do you think that you owe your success to? What do you think? What was the defining thing, do you think, that made you win that?
Question. It really is such a difficult question. But I think that the thing that first springs into my mind straight away is my team are amazing. They are they're just such self-motivated but incredibly talented individuals. And I've never really had a team quite like it. So they inspire me, especially there's a few of them that are just amazing, and I really harness their motivation, and I help them to feed the rest of the team as well. So it's a really good flow on effect. So I really do have to give them all the credit in that sense. They're just incredible and make my job quite easy. As far as where my mindset is, I believe so passionately about leading by example, and every salon manager just absolutely has to do that without fail in everything that they do. They have to be the best that they can be in every sort of aspect of their job, from things operational and how you work in the salon, but also things like never being sick, never being late, you know, those kind of basics as well. You have to be really, really strong in your position as a manager and as a leader, because it's only going to filter through to your team, and your team are going to feed off that as well. And I think also I'm always very honest in my approach to everything that I do. They believe me when I say that this is what we can do and this is what I want us to achieve, and you know, these are our goals. They believe it, and it's because I mean it. I come from a very honest space. And that's just how, I don't know any other way to be. That's just me. Sometimes too honest for my own good, perhaps. But
Yes, I agree. A team is so important. But you also inherited that team and turned that business around in the time that you've been the leader at that particular location.
Yeah.
Come on, take some credit, girl.
Yeah. No, thank you. It was definitely an award, that particular award I had my eye on. I actually managed another one of the Rush salons prior to this one, this placement, and we were finalists for that particular award. So becoming winning this award for this branch was just a huge achievement, and I'm so, so pleased, so proud.
And you set that goal, didn't you, a year out from winning?
I did. I made it very, very clear. The team were all on board with it. We sort of did quite a few workshop sessions where we've made posters and had them all through the back room, and I constantly was reminding everyone about it. And when we actually were called up and we won, they kept saying, "You did it! You did it, Amy! You did it!" I said, "No, we." They just knew how determined I was to win it, I guess.
Yeah. So communication and having those team meetings and getting your team behind you is a big part of your success, and it's something that you feel quite passionate about.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
And you have some tips for us.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I think it was difficult to kind of think and identify what the tips were, because I think you just sort of go into autopilot and do it automatically. But actually, when I thought about it, there is a structure that I follow, and I think that attributes to it being quite a successful format in our salon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, do you want to take us through some of those steps?
Absolutely. The first one is, and it sounds really simple, but it's actually quite difficult to follow through on, is set a date and a time and stick to it. So commit a time and a day that you're going to meet as a team, whatever that may look like for you, and actually make sure you stick to it. If you prioritize other things over these meetings, like often it's clients, your team won't see the value in that time together, and it's going to be so difficult to get them on board and have that commitment from them. So it is really invaluable to be doing that. I've worked in a salon before where there's been absolutely no communication, no team meetings whatsoever. And then I've also worked in a salon where it was just so built into our culture. It was a really strong meetings culture. So, and as an employee, as a team member, I just loved team meetings. I loved them. I loved hearing what the goals were, or having an opportunity to share my thoughts or connected with my team. So from that perspective, I got so much out of them. Larissa, I remember when I started working with you, you and a few of the other managers were going off for a meeting. I thought, what are you talking about? I wanted to be a part of it. And from a managerial perspective, I love to have the opportunity. I think I would combust if I didn't have an opportunity to share things and share thoughts and highlight things that we need to focus on and have an opportunity, have that platform to tidy up all those little things and speak to everyone all at once. It's just so important. And in terms of when and how long it's for, that just needs to be tailored to suit your, I guess what your business goals are, the size of your team, and of course the individuals on your team as well. So currently in our salon, we meet every single week on a Saturday morning for half an hour. That's our main meeting. And to be honest, half an hour is not long enough. I could easily have an hour at least, but unfortunately time is restricted on a Saturday. And I've got my whole team. They know that without fail, it's a non-negotiable. There will always be a breakfast meeting on a Saturday. We also, Tuesdays are actually our busiest day as well. We've got a full team and it's our most profitable day. So often they can get quite ugly Tuesdays. So I always do a little team talk at the start of the day on a Tuesday. It's just it's a powerful, to the point meeting where we just highlight what the day ahead is going to look like. If there's any challenges ahead that we need to be aware of, we identify the new clients for the day. And often I'll set a little incentive or something like that as well for the day just to get them motivated. I also do one-to-ones, which are more sales-orientated, and how frequently I do them just depends on the stylist and their needs and their level as well. They are just crucial to obviously setting out what the KPIs and targets are and managing that, but also having an opportunity to connect on a more one-to-one basis, so which often leads the way for more open and honest conversations there as well. And then actually every quarter I book out larger meetings where it's about 2.5 hours. And in those meetings, we'll just dig a little deeper and we'll perhaps do a little bit more training or hands-on stuff. So, and that requires a lot more planning, obviously, as well.
And is that longer quarterly meeting around sales targets or technical skill, or what's that about?
It depends. Generally, I will plan it to be one of those, it will fall under one of those categories. So,
yeah.
Technical skill, team building, client care. So, just looking after our clients and how to improve that, and also just personal development. So, something that might be completely unrelated to hairdressing and hairy stuff, so to speak, we'll focus more on self-awareness and self-development. So intuitively I'll generally know what we need to do based on the previous month. Right, we need to focus on client care, or we need to, the morale's a bit low, let's do some team building or something like that. So generally it will fall under one of those categories.
Like you said, we had a big culture of weekly meetings, and in fact, they were an hour and a half, weren't they? And then we went on to do the younger ones had training afterward.
That's right.
But, mind you, we had a big team, but I remember even then it always felt jam-packed of
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a comment I get often is, what do we talk about if we're having such regular meetings? But I think once you get going, would it be fair to say that, you know, things start to spew forth of things that need to be dealt with because you have a platform and a time to talk.
Absolutely, yes. I think once you raise your awareness to what's around you, and there's so much value and there's so much inspiration that you can gain from everything that's around you, you can bring that back to your team. Once you open your eyes to that, you'll feel like, oh my God, I don't have enough time. There's so much to say. And also tapping into your team as well, and asking them what do they feel we as a team could work on, or what do they think that they could share with the team. I often use meetings as a platform for stylists to kind of showcase and their whatever they want to talk about, but give them an opportunity to develop their own skills as well. I've got one girl who's particularly passionate about doing little hair ups and party hair, but she just hates talking in front of people. So I've really worked up her confidence and helped her with that. That's really, really helped her grow, but also really empowered her as well. She's, it's done wonders for her.
Do you have a set agenda every week? I mean, like we used to have a set agenda. It sat in the back room. You could fill it out if you had a thing that you wanted to bring. It was quite structured. Have you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but that actually brings me to my second tip.
Good. Good leading.
Yes, definitely, which is be organised. Never underestimate the power of planning ahead. You know, I hear people say so often, oh, I'm just gonna wing it. I'm just gonna go with the flow and go where the conversation takes me. But actually, if you're standing in front of a team of whether it's 5 or 15 people and all eyes on you, the second they see a glimmer of uncertainty, or if they see you running around the salon to try and find that bit of paper where you've written your rebooking percentage on or something, you lose credibility straight away. You've got to be slick. You've got to be fluid in your approach, and you've got to be prepared. And it doesn't necessarily have to take an enormous amount of work on your part. I actually, I have a notebook on my desk at work, and I also keep my notebook. I've got a file on my phone as well, and I'm constantly just adding to that about things that I want to add to the meeting. So often it will be things that I see in the salon or here and whatnot that I think, right, need to address that. But also, just in life in general, I'll get so many ideas about what to talk to my team. Every single morning I'll listen to the radio or I'll listen to a TED talk. But the radio I find is fabulous for ideas for icebreakers. You know, they have competitions like call in and tell us a time when you blah, 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 blah. And I'm always like, cool, I'm going to ask my team that. radio is just awesome. And for us, like social media, Instagram obviously is just a whole other range of inspiration from there. So everywhere where you can add some other inspiring little tidbits to your meetings. But I do have a set agenda. So I have set agenda items that I have to touch on every single week. And that might vary depending on your salon focuses. But things like upcoming training, promotions, touching base on our KPIs, having a quick mention of people that have performed really well the previous week. I work for a really large company. So the promotional aspect and marketing aspect needs to get a big spotlight. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there'll be one other focus. So that will be either technical skills or team building or client care.
Yeah.
And while I am very organised, naturally I'm very organised, I have to be, because I know that that's when I'm most effective, is when I know what I'm talking about and I'm prepared for it. But also I think it's quite effective to maintain some sort of surprise element with your meetings. So, and that could be something really small, but if you become too predictable and too structured, your team, you're at risk of your team becoming a little bit complacent. So I often people will just come, they'll sit in the circle, everyone will sit in the same place, it's the same person, and then I'll come down and they just look at me and I always know that they're going, right, what's she going to do this time? Because I'll just like, right, everyone stand up, follow me, we're going to go here. And from time to time I've just done the meeting, and we've got a really large salon, and I've done the meeting in a different part of the salon, and whilst it sounds really small, it just alerts them a little bit and shakes things up. Or I've locked up the salon and we've all gone down to the local coffee shop and done the meeting in there, or I've brought out some food always goes down a treat as a surprise, or I do lots of sort of practical activities with them to demonstrate ideas, like not so much role playing, people absolutely cringe it when I say that word, but definitely things that get them up and get them moving, but just a tiny little surprise, just a little something that you can add in there, I always think works really, really well.
Absolutely, I love it. All right, and what's your tip number three?
So number three is quite simple actually, but very important, but especially for hairdressers, is communicate your key points in every single way possible. Don't just assume that because you've done a meeting, and this is what I did wrong in my early days, is I'd do a meeting and I'd say everything I wanted to say, and then I'd dust off my hands, that's great, that's my job done, now everyone's going to do it perfectly. But it's not the case at all. And I think, Larissa, you actually said to me, if 80% of your team are listening 80% of the time, you're doing a really good job. And yeah. I remember feeling at the time a bit disheartened about that. I thought, no. However, I've learned now to ensure that I'm communicating in every single way. So I print off my agenda and I type up the notes in a really clear way, and I have that in the staff room. I also email the minutes to the team after the meeting, and anyone that wasn't present from the meeting, they have to respond to say that they've read the notes, and I leave a little surprise in the notes so I know if they've read them or not. Things like, tell me which and you're going to receive a prize, and so they read them now, needless to say, chocolate will get you everywhere. But also I will draw out some of the key ideas. For example, if we're going to have a new approach to how we're going to aim to increase our rebooking, I'm going to draw that idea out, put it on a poster, highlight. I'm like the highlighter queen. I make everything as bright and colourful as possible. And I get teased endlessly about it, but I do not care because it gets my point across.
Yeah.
Totally gets my point across. But just illustrating those key ideas is so important, and make it look bright and colourful, and it'll be even more, it will reinforce those ideas even more.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember some of those tips being done even on me. Surprises in my emails to make sure I haven't read them. I love it.
It works.
It does work.
Yeah.
So I know that staff meetings can feel overwhelming for some people. Especially if they're coming from zero, and you know what you're explaining really is at hero. So what are your thoughts on honing your skills around that?
Yeah, I think it's actually really important to cut yourself a little bit of slack and give yourself a little bit of time to really perfect it, and which kind of just goes back to the number one, where you just make sure you do stick to a time and you do fulfill it and do it, because over time you're only going to really refine that delivery and ultimately create a more effective meeting. You're going to learn about what makes your team tick, and what makes them laugh, and what makes them engage, and what sort of brings that fire in their eyes and lights up their face. What is it that you say that motivates them? And you're only going to ascertain that over time. So you really just need to hone your skills, commit to your meeting, and then observe and follow through on that, and see what works. I mean, as you know, Larissa, when I was working with you, I facilitated meetings, and probably a bit rocky at the beginning, but I eventually got to a point where I was quite confident in doing it, and I actually loved it. It was my domain. That was my thing. I really enjoyed it. Coming over to London and my new role here with a new team, I thought, yep, right, meetings, this is my thing. I'm going to absolutely do the most amazing job here. And I will never forget, for as long as I live, my first meeting I did with my new, brand new team, who adored their previous manager. And then she left, and then they had this new manager. And I sort of went in with my tried and true approach, and it did not go well at all. I got completely bulldozed. I'll never forget it. And it was from that moment on, I thought, right, it's not about this one size fits all. I have to adapt. I have to adjust my style. I have to look and see what is it about this team that is going to make them laugh and be inspired and be engaged. Because that's ultimately what it's about. Not just all about, you know, nagging, and you don't want it to have a negative undertone. It's about just engaging the team, really. So yes, I've learned that the hard way. But now I've learned that you've just got to adapt.
And so let me ask, when you, because you've moved from your first salon at Rush, and then you've taken over a new one, what did you do on your first meeting at Baker Street?
Oh, good question. I do remember. So in the previous salon, I went in with my agenda, with my set agenda items, and then I gave the team an opportunity to talk, which would have been my normal style with my Wellington team. And as I say, that went really, really, really badly. So with Baker Street, I actually, and not to contradict my tip of being organised, I actually went in with no agenda. It was purely a connect, talking to them, hearing a little bit more about their story, what do they love doing, who are they, and then I sort of talked a little bit about myself and what my goals were and how I work and how we're going to work together. So it was a fairly informal just discussion and chat. But I also set the precedent. I said, right, this is what the meetings are going to look like from here onwards. Because every manager will have a different style, but you want to make sure that you outline this is your style and this is how you want it to be. Like, some managers will allow their team to put on their makeup while they're talking, or, you know, get ready for work, and I will absolutely not have that.
Yeah.
I want full attention. So, but you've got to outline that from the beginning. It's got to be made quite clear. So, yeah. And then over time, I've kind of just honed those skills a little bit more to suit them and suit their needs as well.
Yeah, yeah. Amy, are you still a big goal setter?
That's a really interesting question, because I'm a little bit conflicted now when it comes to goals. Not because I see the value in goal setting, and that used to be, as you know, that was my life. And I think it's hardwired a lot into Gen Yers. We talk so much about goals and what do you want to achieve. And I don't know, people that don't have goals must feel a little bit lost sometimes. Like, maybe I just want to live. But I've actually started to focus equally on goals with actually being present and finding fulfillment and contentment in the now, and talking about how we can actually just be satisfied and fulfilled or focus, bring your attention back to the present moment rather than continuously looking ahead and trying to set these big mammoth goals and trying to think about, well, what should my goal be? It's all too consuming sometimes, and we lose sight of what's actually right in front of us. So we do goal setting. We do talk about what our goals are, but we're not obsessed with it. It's not our ultimate focus. I do a lot of mindfulness, and as icebreakers, we'll even do sort of visualization where we just sort of close our eyes and we talk about what our day, we visualize what our day is going to look like today, and what are we doing when we're performing at our very, very best. And we just sort of bring the the attention just back to today and back to the moment. Otherwise, it can get a bit frenzied, I feel. Yeah, but it is still important to have goals. It is still important, but I don't think it's not the everything. It's not everything.
Yeah, yeah. So as we sort of lead into our wrap up, I wanted to ask you what would life look like for you as a manager if you didn't have team meetings or the communication that you put so much effort into?
Yeah, oh my goodness, that just makes me feel panicky just thinking about this. There is so much going on in the salon, and it's always changing. There's always like more news. I mean, even if you have a smaller team, it doesn't change. There's still, you've got to have that opportunity to connect, and don't so much even look at it from your perspective. It's what your team can gain from it as well, just from having that opportunity to connect with each other and with you. So my life would be very stressful, I would imagine. And and also we just wouldn't be achieving the results that we achieve without it. I truly believe that we have to take a step back and connect away from the clients off the shop floor, and so that we can launch into a really good day. So yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt, we have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, we've had some really great tips. Set a date and a time and stick to it. And be organised and have a plan and communicate every which way possible, because only 80% of your people are listening 80% of the time. sad but true.
Yeah.
Don't expect to win straight away, and as much as it's important to have goals, be mindful and be present. So amazing, Amy. And look, I just knew you were the right person to talk to about this topic, because it really is your superpower. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. So I know that you will have a quote to share with us. What keeps you going as a manager? You inspired, Amy.
This was so hard to think, because anyone that knows me knows that I love a good mantra. And over the years, I've had so many mottos and whatnot. But I guess I just had to sort of reflect on recent stuff that's really helped me. And the first one, salon life has just been incredibly busy lately, and there's been a lot of change, and there's a lot happening at the moment. And my mantra is simply just follow through and follow up. Words can be very compelling. I know they can be. They compel me, and I know that they can compel the team. But if there's actually no subsequent action, then it's kind of just a bit meaningless. So following through on what you say, but also following up and making sure that there is some accountability, not only for your team, but also for me as well. So that's been my huge mantra, even just over the last few months, as recently as that. I've really keep telling myself that. So particularly ideas that have perhaps come from a meeting, make sure you follow up on what you say. Don't forget about them. Don't just leave them in the meeting. That's my first one.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. Another one is something that I've kind of tried to teach the team as well. It's something that I read a few years ago, and it's if you're ever faced with, a adverse situation, or even just a really stressful situation in the salon, have this inner dialogue where you just ask yourself, or say to yourself rather, this is good because, and then think of a reason why it's good. And what it does is it will start to sort of rewire your brain to start to develop a real sense of gratitude in every single situation. And it kind of is almost a bit comical at the beginning, because you'll be, I don't know, caught in the rain and missed your bus and whatnot, and asking yourself, this is good because, and then you might think of the most ridiculous reason, like, at least I'm getting some exercise, or I don't know.
That actually happened to me today.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, my car broke down, I had to walk up the hill, and I was so annoyed, but I was like, I'm getting my exercise.
This is good because here you go. So you've developed that sense of gratitude, which is incredibly powerful to have that in the salon. But, you know, if a client complaints, it's a really big thing that I do with the team. So if there's client complaints or anything like that, you know, this is good because, so have that sentence, have that phrase in your brain to just pull out all, at all those occasions where you need it. And finally, I wanted to mention this because there was an operations manager who was my manager for a while when I first started with the company, and he really left quite an impact on me. He was amazing. He's no longer with the company, unfortunately, but I looked up to him so much. And when I first joined, there was some massive change that the company underwent, and it really rattled me. The change was incredibly scary, but coupled with being new to London and new to my job, I felt incredibly insecure and just a bit unsettled, I think. And this manager, this top dog of the business, he actually came and visited me in the salon, just turned up unannounced, just to sort of give me some reassurance and connect. And I really appreciated it, and I felt so much better. And as he was leaving the salon, he just turned around and he said, "Amy, don't forget to just have fun." And honestly, Larissa, I'll never forget it, because when he said it, I laughed, you know, after having cried. And I thought, that's so true. I've forgotten to have fun. And ultimately, I mean, that's what it's all about. Just have fun. And it's so simple, but I have never ever forgotten him saying that. And in times where I get a bit bogged down or a bit overwhelmed, I hear those words. Yeah, don't forget to have fun.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. We almost need to finish up on that, but you know, I still need to ask you. That would be a perfect way to finish. But yeah. I know you've got more gold to share with us. So do share with us a book or a podcast or something that you've got a lot out of that you know that the person that's listening right now will get something out of too.
So many awesome books out there. The one that I read quite recently was called Compelling People. And it's basically about everybody has naturally, they're either, they've got a strength and they've got warmth. And who's compelling is how much of a balance of that strength and warmth that individual has. So it's all about analysing it in other people, but also identifying it within yourself, that perfect harmony of strength and warmth within you to become basically a more influential and compelling person. I think for salon owners, salon managers, it's a really, really cool book to read, really easy reading, quite funny as well.
I like that. It's so simple.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's very cool. And also, it's not books, but jump onto TED Talks. For a while, every single morning I was listening to a TED Talk, and there are just some, it's amazing. It's an endless source of inspiration for me as well. You know, whatever it is you feel like you need, type it in and bang, there'll be a TED Talk on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, look, Amy, thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge and inspiration with the salon owners of the world. I really, really appreciate having you on the show, and it's really awesome to connect you as well with you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So I know people are going to want to stalk you. So where can they find you?
So first of all, you can find our salon Instagram page on Instagram, and our name is The Hair Bakers. So just one word, The Hair Bakers. And also, I'll be on Instagram as well if you want to reach out to me there. So, and I'm A Carters. So just A C A R T E R S.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's almost a shame to end. And hopefully we'll see you in New Zealand again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Larissa.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes, or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.